Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome to episode 193 of the English with Kirsty podcast. Today I have another interview for you. It's with Nicole, and we are talking about, well, actually we talk about a number of things, but one of the really interesting things I think about our conversation was that we were talking about learning a language as an adult. That's not often something that comes up. You know, often we start learning languages at school, but that's not always the way that we learn. And people often say, oh, it's easier for children when they're learning a language, but actually there are some positive things about learning a language as an adult, and we explore some of those in this interview. And I'd be interested to know what you think about that. Have you, as an adult, started to learn a new language, and what do you think were the benefits for you of being slightly older? I think certainly we know what works for us, and often we can take control of our learning, which is a really good thing as well. So we talk about that. We talk about how speaking multiple languages can help us as a business owner as well, and how that experience can help us to do our jobs better. And we generally just have an interesting conversation about language and culture, and I hope that you will enjoy the conversation as well. If you want to find out more about Nicole, then you can go to the show notes page for this episode, which you can find at englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode193. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast. And today I have a guest with me, which is great. Nicole is somebody that I met at a networking event a few weeks ago, and I thought she'd be a really interesting guest to have on the podcast. So I invited her, and here she is. Hi, Nicole. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Kirsty. My pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
It's good to see you again. Maybe you can start by telling us something about yourself, your business, what you do.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So I'm the founder and creative director at Heineck Associates, and we're a digital marketing agency, and we specialise in communicating with business target audiences. So we help people find the people that they want to connect with, and then really nail their message so that they can put that out to their audience and make powerful emotional connections with them. So that's kind of my day job. And then my other hat is I'm a PhD researcher at the University of Worcester in organisational psychology. And that is a tremendous project and a fantastic add-on to what I do in the business.
Yeah, it sounds like that keeps you busy then, two quite different things, but I guess there is some crossover as well, would you say, or are they distinctly different?
Yeah, there is. I think you forge that relationship with your research and your kind of practical work. And I think the two things are blending together quite naturally, in that the process of communicating with one another, with business audiences, through images, through language, through events, through all kinds of different communication routes, they all sort of have their root in psychological principles. And when we develop an understanding of how to reach out to and relate to another person, it's not a cookie cutter process by any means, but there are principles, there are fundamentals, theories that we can sort of understand and apply across different situations and circumstances. So there is a cohesion between the two things, and especially when it comes to building an organisation. And I feel that if it works in theory and it works in practice, you've got something really powerful there.
Absolutely. And presumably it works across languages too. There's other things to consider. But I know that when we met, it was at an event for people who were business owners who were working multiculturally or across different cultures, different languages. Maybe you could tell me something about, you know, which languages do you speak, and how does your multilingual experience shape how you see and interact with the world around you and in business?
Yeah, sure. So my background is my dad was Czech, and he came to England in 1968 with my uncle. And they came over initially as fruit pickers, but they ended up staying just prior to the Russian invasion of Czechoslovakia, what was then Czechoslovakia. And they made a decision that they were going to apply for asylum to stay in Britain, which mm-hmm. they did, and they were successful in doing. And they, my uncle moved on to Canada a few years later, but my dad stayed here and built a business and got married and obviously had a family. And so it was a really interesting time growing up, in the 80s, or under that kind of, I suppose it was a politically challenging time, let's say. And, we were sort of separated from our family, in that I didn't actually get to meet my family until I was a teenager. And the language, the culture was represented by my dad. My dad was a really powerful presence, and he brought culture into our house. He ran a business which was it was a brick and mortar business, so he was selling electronic goods to everybody, or we would meet so many different people who came into the shop, and he would attract people from different cultures because they trusted him, because the name, there was a foreign name over the door. They went into the shop, they started talking to him, heard the accent, said, "Where are you from?" And relationships were born on that basis. Mm-hmm. And it kind of led to this really lovely sharing of cultures, which were, we would meet so many different people, some people from the Eastern Bloc, some people from, all different regions of the world, who would kind of bring food into the shop, and we'd have conversations with, about family members. And it was like, it was such a lovely experience. It was
so cool.
It was fab. And but the language, coming back to your question about language for me didn't really take off until I was a little bit older, because of not having that interaction with my dad's side of the family until I was quite a bit older. So I had the experience of learning French and German at school. I spoke German with my grandmother because I didn't speak very good Czech in my childhood. So that was really the only kind of way that we could communicate with each other in my teens. But in my 20s, I had the opportunity to make friends with and do a language exchange with some friends from Slovakia. And they helped me to kind of realize my vocabulary, my Czech vocabulary. So although I picked words up over the years and we had conversations, I do feel that language is very much driven by need. And because my mum's English, and we didn't have that physical contact with my Czech family, and like I said, until I was quite a bit older, I didn't find the need to start using the language until I myself was older. So that was a really interesting experience, and I feel like, part of me that thinks, I wish I'd learnt it younger, and I wish I'd spoken it from childhood. But there's also part of me that says, actually, the wisdom that comes with learning a language when you're older, I think gives you a few advantages. And I'm not saying I don't make mistakes, because I do sort of make some mistakes in translation and equivalences, but you really start to understand the fabric of a culture once you have the colloquial speech. I feel like that's where it really takes off for you, when you don't have to use the long polite sentences and you can just use a few words to get to the goal. I don't know, has that been your experience?
I don't know, because I've got a similar experience to you in that I learned German at school. I also learned French, but unfortunately I've forgotten all of it. But I use German now, but this year I started learning Romanian. So that's the way that I'm really kind of bringing that to life for me is by, I've made some really good friends already, which is just such a lovely thing, because it's not just an academic exercise then, it's relating to real people. And as you said, there's a need to use it. I don't have the same need in that I don't need to do it. I've looked for reasons to do it. But as you begin to develop friendships and relationships, you want to communicate with those people. And yes, we do use English sometimes, but a lot of the time, I'm seeking out situations where I don't. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. As an adult, you can really bring the knowledge that you learn from the textbooks or the, you know, the grammar books, and bring that together with the experience that you have, and, you know, understanding a bit more about culture and customs and a different way to, I'm going to get this wrong now, but there's a quote saying that each new language you speak is a new perspective and a new way to look at the world. Yeah. And I think if you see it that way, then it becomes a lot more exciting and a lot more motivating, but also a lot more real, because you, as you say, you're not using archaic sentences from books. You're speaking in a way that people relate to, and, exactly. and we communicate so that we can relate ideas and experiences and share knowledge, or share food is also a good one. But, you know, it's the communication, the language is just a way for people to be able to speak with one another. And I think if you can do that authentically, then it will be a lot easier for people to warm to you and to want to communicate with you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And just picking up on that point, I would say that the difference that I started to notice spending more time in the Czech Republic as I got older was things like just going to the supermarket, for example, and interacting with staff in the supermarket and learning the slang terms, you know, like maybe it's Prague slang. I don't know. I haven't sort of traveled enough across the Czech Republic to say one way or another, but there's just a way of greeting, a way of saying goodbye, which is just so relaxed and informal. And my approach was always to take, and again, you know, I'd be interested to hear about your experience, but in the Czech culture, the speaking to an elder is very different to speaking to a peer, and how you construct your language, and you just never dial back that language, the structure, the sentence structure, the way you construct your words with an elder, because it is, respect is baked into the language. So it would be unspeakable, I feel, to use peer-based slang, you know, with an elder, I suppose, unless you really had explicit permission to do so. But the that respect level is really built into the language. And my approach was to just deliver at that level. And then if you hear otherwise, fantastic.
You get permission from them, but exactly. You're not assuming the right to do that.
That's it, yeah. And I kind of feel that they're almost two selves that develop in that language. So you've got your very formal you know, I'm in a high pressure environment, let's say. Mistakes are not welcome, but then when you're with your peers, you can sort of relax a bit and breathe out, and, you know, maybe you've got a beer, and if you get a word wrong, that's fine, and, you know, you can just be a bit more relaxed about the conversation. And I don't know, have you had a similar experience to that? Or
I think I relate to the concept, the idea of like really relaxing, and I think I haven't quite got there yet in terms of, but that's more to do with my own speaking skills and my own perfectionism that I need to deal with. And I think sometimes with a language, it takes you a bit of time to find yourself in that language, because I think I have different personalities for the different languages that I have.
Yeah.
You express yourself differently. And I think that's a great thing to mm-hmm. kind of find yourself in the other language. And there may be more than one self in the way that you described. But I also think that sometimes you need to kind of push through some of your own challenges to really learn to be yourself. Because I know that the Kirsty who is just beginning to learn a language is a lot more shy, a lot more reserved. And I don't really want people to think that's who I am, because it isn't. Mm. So it kind of takes a while to search around until you get comfortable with who you are and can be yourself in the other language.
That's fascinating. That is absolutely, what a great, great observation. I completely relate to that, because the person I am in my British environment is not too dissimilar, but I feel that there are changes in my deportment. You know, as I move in and out of different cultures, I feel physically that I change. And it may be because I have to pay more attention. I have to listen more carefully to Czech speakers, because because Czech language is spoken very, very quickly, and it's sometimes I find it difficult to separate the words if it's somebody that is outside of my family, because I feel that the language that's spoken with my family, or that I hear spoken by my family, I feel so comfortable with, I can pick the words apart. Maybe that's because I'm more relaxed. But if I were with someone that I didn't know very well, or even watching TV or listening to the news, sometimes I find it difficult to separate words because of the speed that you know, that language is spoken in. And it has a physical effect. I physically change, you know, my posture changes, and I feel myself become almost very, very focused. Very focused, and that is that's the personality that comes out in, you know, in the Czech culture, is that focus. As that's just such a fascinating point you made there, Kirsty.
Yeah, no, I think the physical thing as well, and I think also that focus, there's like an unseen part to that, because when you're really paying attention, it's not what we normally do, so it's kind of a bigger ask of yourself, and sometimes that can make you really tired. Maybe yes. For the first day or so, why am I so tired? It's only like 9 o'clock in the evening or something. But you know, it takes its toll on you mentally until you've maybe been there a couple of days and it gets easier. I think of my first couple of trips to Germany, where I was completely immersed because I was the only English speaker there, mm-hmm. In the situation I was in. Or if other people did speak English, they didn't, because we were in a German-speaking team. Yeah. And I was ridiculously tired. It did improve, but yeah, the first couple of times you sometimes experience that because it's not how you usually operate.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's another one that I can relate to. In the first time that I stayed by myself with my grandmother, she lived. About 45 minutes outside of Prague, so there was no broadband at that time and no English, because you know, she had maybe one or two words of English, but your choices were German or Czech, take your pick. so it was like any gaps, if I could fill them in German, then I had to, because there was no English. So and I had that experience of the it's almost like you tune in and then you make the crossover and that's it. And there was about 48 hours of me thinking, golly, I hope I can do this.
Yeah.
And then 48 hours in, I don't know, something happened. My brain just went, okay. And it gave in. And suddenly I was able to flip in and out of thinking in both languages. And I felt like, wow, that's a real watershed moment. That was like, that's fantastic. It was such a great experience. But I do feel that it is incumbent on us, as you know, with our second and more languages, to keep on top of that and to keep it fresh. So how do you do that? How do you stay on top of your language when maybe you're not using it so much? How do you keep your vocabulary fresh? And
I tend to be quite intense. So with German, it's easy because I use it every day. With Romania, it's also fairly easy because I'm not I don't come into contact with the language, but I make sure I do. So like with one of my really good friends, we speak most days. So that I've got, we often have this thing where we speak in our own native language too. So I'll speak to her in English, she'll answer in Romanian. So it sounds like a really weird conversation, but it works for us because it means we can say anything and we're not restricted. Certainly I'm not restricted by my language skills. Lots of reading and listening to things, but I do notice it slipping, because with my Turkish, my Romanian's kind of displaced my Turkish. Mm. And now if I try to, I was talking to someone earlier and every time I tried to speak, I noticed these Romanian words were creeping into my Turkish sentences. Like,
ah. Yeah.
They're nothing, you know, the languages are nothing like one another, but the Romanian words were in my, closer to the surface of my brain in this big filing cabinet of words. I don't know, it doesn't happen with German at all. It's like that's separate. But I think if you want to work on languages and to keep them current, you do need to, because I went on holiday a while after I'd finished education and didn't use my German professionally at the beginning. And then I went on holiday and was needed as a translator in a hospital because one of our group ended up there.
Wow.
And I could do it, I mean, there were some challenges because of the unknown medical vocabulary, but the biggest takeaway for me that day was I need to do something about this, because if you don't practice the language, you will lose it, and you might still understand some things, but you won't have that fluency and that same ability to think in the language if you don't take care of it. It's like my plants, when I don't water them, they die. It's like a language as well, you know, they need love and attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that was what you described there about with the language exchange. That was how I, you know, actualized my vocabulary, because I'd done so much studying and had so many words banked, but wasn't using them frequently enough to understand when, where, how to apply them. And in doing that language exchange with my friends at the time from Slovakia, we did a very similar thing, except, you know, obviously it was more in person and day trips and, you know, spending a lot more time together. Mm. But having the back and forth of meeting for a meal in the evening and, you know, it's an hour of Czech this way and an hour of English the other way, they benefited too, because their fluency increased in English. So again, I mean, they had four or five languages each as well, because of the jobs that they'd had over the years and the different places that they'd lived. So their fluency was outstanding, you know, across German, Czech, Russian, you know, and English, and, you know, a few other languages thrown in there as well. So we had a lot to talk about.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? Find people with whom you would want to speak anyway. You know, yeah. It's not enough that you speak the language I want to learn. I do a few language exchanges. So the one I was telling you about is a bit more, a bit different, because we became friends anyway. And sometimes we just want to share information. It's not so much about the language anymore. It's about being friends. Mm. But with some others, we're quite strict. So we have, today is English day, tomorrow is Romanian day. So we, because otherwise you go for the path of least resistance. You go for the language which is easiest in which to communicate. And I've been in situations where that benefited me with German, but it's not really fair to the other person. And equally, if one person's skills are a bit weaker, then that language could get neglected in an exchange. So it's good to try and have some rules. Okay, break them if you need to. It's not like set in stone, but try and say, okay, today is English day, tomorrow isn't, and then work with that and see how much you can do. Or find somebody who doesn't speak English, for example. For me, if I found someone who, because that really pushes you to try, because you don't think, oh, the other person can do it so much better. You think, well, if I don't say anything now, they're not going to understand anything, because this is the only language in which we have to communicate. Yeah. I'm sorry about my clock.
That's all right. Excellent. But no, I completely agree. I do feel that you need the you need the equity between you, don't you, when you do a language exchange, and the whole point is that you would have a relationship anyway. You would have a friendship anyway. It just happens to be that you can split that into a couple of languages, and you can relate your experiences to one another in those respective languages. And that's where I feel as though, certainly when I've done language exchanges, felt like it's my responsibility to represent the best English I possibly can. Yeah. And I know that my friends felt like they had to represent the best Czech they possibly could. And in doing that, that's where you miss the colloquialism. And then spending, you know, as I said, as I got older and I spent more time alone, you know, visiting alone with my family, that's when I started to pick up the colloquialisms and listen to those, you know, the maybe more slang and things like that, and think, oh, right, so with them I can use these words. And it almost sort of opened up a new world, because that's when you can become the equivalent self, the relaxed self there, you know, because it's like, oh, well, I know what words to pick. I know that I don't have to be so buttoned up all the time. I know that I can be a bit more easygoing. So I think that was probably my biggest learning, of spending more time just getting to know people, spending time out in the city by myself and going to shops, ordering coffee, having conversations, because there were so many tourists there. And they kind of will strike up a conversation with you, and you know, vice versa, when you're out and about, and you just you meet so many interesting people, so many different cultures. But it's also having that fluency in speaking like a local. I mean, it really is. But then you wouldn't apply that in business. Have you had that experience of the difference of what between? I imagine you have. You know, like business, German for business, and German socially.
Yeah, I mean, nothing that we did that I did in my education was anything like what I would need for business German. I mean, it was fine for going out for dinner with my friends, but I had to I spent time in forums, you know, like on the German equivalent of LinkedIn, listening to podcasts in German, like business podcasts, trying to read articles just to get my brain into that same kind of way of thinking. And then I did some work on a project where I was the only English speakers, but it wasn't my business. And I think that helped me because now obviously I do use German in my business, but I'm working with some other people gave me a better chance to observe, I think, because I was responsible for my parts of the project and getting the job done, but I wasn't responsible for everything. So I was able to take a bit more of a backseat in meetings sometimes when something wasn't relevant to me, and observe how people interacted, what they said, how they communicated, how they disagreed, how they discussed ideas. And there were things that I wanted to take on board and try to not to copy, but to do myself, and other things. I thought, that's a terrible idea. I'm not going to do that. But at least I know how some people do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it changes your vocabulary. And I think there is a bit of, I've spoken with German first language speakers, and they say sometimes, like in a business context, do you use the more formal, when do you cross over? It's a bit more, the lines are a bit more blurred than in some other cultures where it's very obvious how you behave. So that was quite good for me, because I thought, well, if they're struggling with it, then it's kind of obvious that I will as well. But I think you just kind of work it out. I still take the line that, you know, I watch and see what other people do, and I'm happy for people to be less formal with me, but I won't introduce that so soon because I want to still appear professional. I mean, do you find that your knowledge of another language helps you in your day-to-day business at all, like in terms of understanding people or communicating better with people?
Yeah, I think what it's done for me is it's helped me to sort of add another level of processing and really thinking about communications. I find that Czech is a very modular language, and the sentence structure is very different, obviously, to how we construct our sentences in English. And the way that we use language with each other in the Czech culture is it's very situational. It seems to be like a very situational language. So I can describe situations and relate funny experiences, or relate, you know, common shared experiences very well in Czech, let's say, or you know, I hope I can. But in using English, then there's this kind of, there's so many different competencies in English with sort of you know, business English or social English, or what am I trying to communicate? And I think if we think about communicating how we feel, in certain circumstances, it's probably, I find it easier to do that in English, because I feel that English has a broader palette, let's say. There are more colours on that palette to communicate a feeling, or to communicate how I feel in a certain situation, circumstance. Mm. And I find it easier to ask those questions in English. In Czech, it's slightly different. And this might be a confidence thing, but I feel like it's also a cultural thing. There is maybe less willingness to open up on that emotional level and discuss those kind of emotional circumstances, feeling situations, that has been my experience of the contrast between the two things. So coming back to your question, I would say that when I use communication in the business, and when I ask people questions about their business or about their brand or about what they'd like to communicate to their audience, I'm processing it on different levels. And let's say I set the priorities differently. So rather than seeking a priority of, I need to get an answer to this so that I can do this, as a very pragmatic priority, what I'm seeking to do is create that. Am I hearing what you're saying? Mm. Are we on the same page here? And that has come through the experience of speaking another language, being immersed in another culture, and getting it wrong, and realizing I made a mistake. I didn't hear what you said. and I think that it's kind of raised my awareness on, you know, very much to relate to people on that level, to be very self-aware in how I'm relating and using language.
I think that's so important, because listening skills, you know, people talk about, I want to improve my language skills, and they mean speaking, but listening skills are often overlooked, and yet without them you can't have a good conversation.
Yeah, precisely. And especially when we're trying to communicate a point. And I find that you know, receiving instructions has been one of those things that I've had to work on in that other language. You know, listening to, this is what I want you to do, and this is when I want you to do it by, and processing those instructions accurately, instead of kind of piecing it together and thinking, did they mean this or did they mean that? You know, it's like it's getting a really good understanding of what that other person is communicating, and also asking for clarification. What did you mean by that? Could you tell me more about that? You know, it didn't land the first time. Could you repeat it for me? And I think being patient with yourself, and also having those relationships with people who are patient with you and able to say, okay, let's go again. Maybe you need to learn a new word while you're listening to that repetition.
But also, I think there's an assumption that anything, what was it? Somebody showed me something the other day, and they said, I just don't understand it. And I read it and I said, well, that's bad English. That doesn't make sense. Their automatic assumption was that it was something to do with their language skills, their not being able to understand. Whereas sometimes, even when people are using their first language, they don't communicate well. And so if we as language learners automatically assume that it's our fault, that's not really helpful either, because sometimes there is a learning point. Sometimes there's something we genuinely didn't know, but sometimes people just communicate really badly, and you have to ask them to clarify. And you know, we do that in our first language as well. If somebody says something that doesn't really make sense, it could be them, it could be us, but it doesn't necessarily have to be us just because we're learning another language.
No, exactly. And I think the perfect illustration of that is saying it again louder. Not that I didn't hear you, I didn't understand you.
Yeah, the typical thing that people from the UK do on holiday, you know, the stereotype. But I think, you know, in a lot of stereotypes, there is some grain of truth in there at the beginning. You know, like people do that, unfortunately, and it's not helpful. Which brings me on to my next question nicely, about working in multilingual or multinational teams. Like, do you have any tips for people, for example, if it's a team where English is being spoken, for people whose first language is English, to make it a better experience for a group of people, things that they can do, things that they can avoid doing? Do you have any experience of that from?
Yeah, I think having worked and spent time with people from, you know, from different countries all over Europe principally, I think really what it comes down to is letting that person know that they have your support. Mm. I feel as though that has really been the game changer for me in building relationships and friendships. It's been a process of, like we were just saying about, you know, I didn't understand you the first time. Could you repeat that for me? And it's not about saying it louder. It's about, maybe you need to use a different word, or maybe I need to listen and learn a new word, but I'm going to have to do it very quickly because I didn't know it until I just heard it. And sort of appreciating the definitions of that word as it's being used in the moment. And I think being quite agile and flexible in, having a conversation with someone, and if you use a word they're not familiar with, having the patience to slow down and define it for them, as I've had that done for me, and or I've had to say, what's the word for such and such, and I'm looking for a synonym, and that person that I've been talking to has had the patience to say, try this one and it means, and helping people, facilitating them with the expansion of their language. I would say that if there was one takeaway for relationship building in multicultural environments, it's that mutuality, the agility to say, let's try a different way of, approaching that point, or how I want to communicate this, and being flexible to do that.
Yeah, and taking time, because we've all got stuff to do, and time is limited, but when people feel that you are willing to take the time for them, but also when people have done that for me, that really helps you to feel less pressured, and also when you're less under pressure, you're probably more likely to understand anyway, because you're not stressed, you're not putting yourself under so much stress. Mm-hmm. So yeah, taking time, being flexible, I think they're great takeaways. And just to sum up, could you tell us where else — I will put your links and everything on the show notes page — but where can we find you online?
So if you visit www.heineckassociates.co.uk, you can find me there and you can see what we do in the business.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been really good and fascinating talking to you about your experiences and what you've learned.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.